the rites of maidens, the flowering of May blossom on the bough, the fecundity of earth.
After 1660, near St. Pancras Old Church. The fields and market gardens supply the City of London with vegetables and with milk. We glimpse into the lives of the young women who gain a hard living from the land. They are celebrating May Day. The event is also observed by Mr. Robert Chambers of Edinburgh, who is compiling
The Book of Days, a miscellany of popular antiquities, in connection with the calendar, including anecdote, biography and history, curiosities of literature, and oddities of human life and character.
Did you go to the Maying?
Yes. I didn't see the chimney sweeps dance, though I did meet Josiah, who said they'd earned quite a few pence, and one lady gave them a silver coin. They had so many flowers this year. I don't know how they got so many, being as the weather has been so poor lately.
Who did they have for the music? I love the music.
In the course of the morning, the eyes of the householders were greeted with the sight of a milch cow, all garlanded with flowers, led along by a small group of dairy women, who in light and fantastic dresses, with heads wreathed in flowers, danced around the animal to the sound of a violin or clarinet.
Well, old Tom, of course, but this year there was another fiddler with him. A handsome young fellow I hadn't seen before.
What about the silver dolly?
There was a curious addition to this choral troupe, in the form of a man, bearing a frame which covered the whole upper half of his person, on which were hung a cluster of silver flagons and dishes, each set in a bed of flowers.
At first they thought they couldn't afford the money this year to make the dolly.
The silver articles were lent out for the purpose at so much an hour by pawnbrokers, and that one set would serve for a succession of groups of milkmaids during the day.
But the pawnbroker's son came out, and seeing some fine wenches there, asked his dad to be generous.
With this extraordinary burden, the legs, which alone were seen, would join in the dance, rather clumsily as might be expected, but much to the mirth of the spectators, while the strange pile above floated and flaunted about with an air of heavy decorum that added not a little to the general amusement.
The ancient Pancras Wells and the pubs around attract visitors who want a day out from the smoke, dirt and stench of the city. We now meet George Lambert, landlord of the Adam and Eve Tavern, next to St. Pancras Church.
The gardens at the Adam and Eve Tavern, adjoining St. Pancras Church, are open for this season, which are genteel and rural. Coffee, tea and hot loaves every day, where likewise cows are kept for making syllabubs. I also have neat wines and all sorts of fine ales, near which gardens is a field pleasantly situated for trap ball playing. I have bowling greens, skittles and quoits, accompanied with pipes and tobacco, hollands, punch, claret, drawn from the wood at 3 and 6 pence a quart. Ladies and juveniles may enjoy cakes and ale, tea and shrimps, strawberries and cream, syllabubs and junkets, swings, and mazes, lovers' walks and woodbine bowers. Mr. Lambert returns those gentlemen thanks who favoured him with their bean feasts last season, and hopes for the continuance of their future favours, which will ever be most gratefully acknowledged by, gentlemen, your most obedient, humble servant, George Lambert. P.S. Dinner's dressed on the shortest notice. There's also a long room which will accommodate 100 persons.
As I went walking one May morning betime, I met a maid from home had strayed just as the sun did shine. What makes you rise so soon, my dear, your journey to pursue? Your pretty little feet that tread so neat strike off the morning dew.
I'm going to feed my father's flock, his young and tender lambs, that over hills and over dales lie waiting for their dams.
I've been a rambling overnight, and the best part of the day. And now I am returning back again. I have brought you a branch of May. A branch of May, my dear, I say, before your door I stand. It's nothing but a sprout, but it's well budded out by the work of our Lord's hand. Go down in your dairy and fetch me a cup of your sweet cream. And if I should live to tarry in town, I will call on you next year.
Oh, stay, you handsome maid, and rest a moment here. For there is none but you alone that I do love so dear.
How gloriously the sun doth shine, how pleasant is the air. I'd rather rest on my true love's breast than any other where. Now thou art mine and I am thine, no man shall comfort thee. We'll join our hands in wedded bands, and a married we shall be.
When I am dead and in my grave, and covered with cold clay, the nightingale will sit and sing and pass the time away. And now my song is almost done, I can no longer stay. God bless you all, both great and small, and I wish you a joyful May.
The courting experiences of some young women were rather different, as we know from the records of the Battle Bridge Magistrates' Court.
The court is now in session. Call Elizabeth Bocock.
I met the prisoners in a field near Pancras Church. They began to be very rude and put their hands up my coats and tumbled me down under a hedge. But I cried out, and then Bateman beat me, and so they both went away. I got up and went to Battle Bridge, and there they came up to me again. And Bateman asked me to drink and be friends, and so I went with them into the Green Dragon. And there they both lay with me, that they did. And there was another man, and he lay with me too. They all three ravished me, one after another, whether I would or no, for I desired them to let me alone. But they would not, and I was afraid to cry out, for there was 1,000 men in the house.
A 1,000 men? Remember you're on your oath, and mind what you swear.
I believe there might not be quite 1,000 men, but I'm sure there was 9 or 10, and they all wanted to ravish me. But I would not let them, though I don't know that they might have done it too, if Charles Cook had not been so kind as to stand by me and fight my way out of the room. For I'll say that of him, he was a mighty civil man, though he was one of the three that ravished me.
Call Mrs. Elizabeth Leversage.
I keep the Green Dragon at Battle Bridge. The prisoners came in with this girl. She drank with them very freely. And they put their hands up her coats, and she was well enough pleased with it. But I keep a very orderly house. I assured them that I would not allow any such doings. But then, on the very day mentioned in the indictment, I saw this girl lying on the grass behind a hedge, and three boys with her. One of them lay on each side of her, and the other upon her.
Gentlemen of the jury, you have heard the evidence. The prisoner Bateman has told you that the girl has a very loose character and would not let us alone until we had serviced her. There's also the testimony of Mr. Theobald's, the solicitor, that in July last the girl said they'd beaten and abused her, but she made no mention of rape at that time. At a meeting with the prisoners, they came to no agreement because the mother demanded £50 for damages. The girl came to Mr. Theobald's afterwards and said her mother would have him indict them for a rape. Mr. Theobald then said,
some time after this, she came to me again. She said they had had another meeting, and the prisoners had agreed to give her mother £3, and had put the money into her hands. But as soon as the acquittances were signed, Bateman snatched the money out of her hand again. And therefore her mother wanted to know if in this case she could not indict them for street robbery. I, finding by this that they were a couple of wicked, contentious creatures, I told them I would have nothing more to do with the affair.
The jury acquitted the prisoners.
The herb gatherers supplied shops in Covent Garden, Fleet and Newgate markets. From the hedges and brooks they gathered not only watercress but dandelions, scurvy grass, nettles, bittersweet, red valerian, cough grass, feverfew, hedge mustard, and a variety of other edible plants.
It was an important trade. One contemporary account notes that in third-rate genteel neighbourhoods, where the family purse is seldom too well filled, cresses, young watercresses, varied by shrimps or an occasional bloater, would appear to form the chief afternoon solace.
The herb gatherers also sold directly to people in the streets, attracting them with street cries.
So let's make a final visit to the Long Room at the Adam and Eve Tavern to hear Cherry Ripe, a song whose lyric and first theme were based on one of these early jingles. While Italian singers were all the rage at the Covent Garden Theatre, they were beyond the means of the Long Room. The Adam and Eve just had to make do. So you will have the privilege of hearing Signora Lotta Cannelloni,
formerly Fanny Lovett of Shoreditch.
Cherry ripe, cherry ripe, ripe I cry. Full and fair ones, come and buy. Cherry ripe, cherry ripe, ripe I cry. Full and fair ones, come and buy. If so be you ask me where they do grow, I answer there, where the sunbeams sweetly smile. There's the land of Cherry Isle. There's the land of Cherry Isle. Cherry ripe, cherry ripe, ripe I cry. Full and fair ones, come and buy. Cherry ripe, cherry ripe, ripe I cry. Full and fair ones, come and buy.
Whoa!